Acts chapter 16. You're going to be in verses 25 to 40. So Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 40. Very familiar account in Scripture. It's probably one of my favorites, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace, and the Lord was there in the furnace with them. And here in our reading tonight where we're at, obviously this is Paul and Silas in prison, and the Lord is with them as well. And the Lord does great and mighty things for them. And tonight I want us to think about the power of praise, because praising God, choosing to praise God instead of complaining and murmuring about a situation, helps us to grow closer to the Lord, but it glorifies God, it pleases God when we praise Him instead of complaining, and it makes our situation a lot better than what it is. And we always want to praise the Lord, because you know what? God turns everything around for good to those that love Him. We're told that in Romans 8:28, right? And tonight we're just going to see the heart of Paul and Silas and the blessing of the Lord and the blessing that praising God brings into our life. So Acts chapter 16, look at verse 25. The Bible says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.' But Paul said unto them, 'They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out.' And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you'd bless our time, bless obviously the reading of your word. Father, this is all in vain if you don't guide us, if you don't speak to us. Lord, if you don't establish our thoughts. Father, we commit this hour to you. We want our thoughts to be established. We want to hear from heaven. So give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. Help us, Lord, to see how this applies to our life. And Lord, help us to even take inventory of our life. How often do we praise you? How often do we choose praise over complaining and murmuring? Lord, you deserve all praise, honor, and glory. You've given us a brand new life. And Father, we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for guiding us each and every day. But Lord, obviously there are times where we do complain and murmur. But Lord, we do thank you, Father, that you're very long-suffering. You're very patient with us. You're very gracious. And we thank you for continuing to do that good work in us, conforming us more to the image of Christ, the Holy Spirit producing his fruit in our life, cultivating in our hearts and helping it to be produced in our life, changing us from the inside out. We thank you, Father, that you are doing a work in us. But Lord, tonight, help us to learn these valuable lessons. Help us to apply them to our lives, Lord, so that we will, Father, be conscious on praising you in difficult times. We thank you for it and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're very familiar with this account in Scripture of Paul and Silas. They were beaten for their faith. They were beaten because they helped a girl that was demon-possessed, that was bringing much gain to her masters. And Paul had called on this girl and called on the demon to come out of her. The demon came out. She's made whole by the power of Christ. Her masters see that they're going to lose money because she's no longer gainsaying. She's no longer telling people's fortune and stuff. She's not making her masters any more money. And they get the magistrates. They get all the people riled up and against Paul and Silas, bring them before the magistrates. They're beaten. Their backs are bloody. They're thrown into prison, all for doing something good. You know what? That happens sometimes in life where you do something good and it's not received very well. And it's almost like, you know, you feel like you've been beaten up because of the words that are said, because of how you're mistreated, because you're just trying to do good. You're trying to help somebody and someone else gets offended at it. They, you know, they don't receive it well because, you know what? Sometimes that happens with even families where someone will get saved, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the rest of the family members are not happy about it. I remember a man back in our home church. He was a Hindu, and he came to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, started attending the church, and he spoke to my pastor about just the difficulties that it had caused in his family. His family was now against him. They were speaking about disowning him and completely shunning him from the family, and unfortunately, it became so intense for him that he caved and went back to pleasing the family because he couldn't handle it. He was new in the faith, and my prayer, I mean, I hope that things have turned around. This was many years ago, and we prayed diligently for him because we know that as soon as someone gets saved, the devil attacks. He's not going to let go easy. Though he loses all power when Jesus comes into life, it doesn't mean he doesn't give up on trying to destroy that life. So I think as Paul and Silas, you remember this account, I mean, as they help this demon-possessed girl, I mean, she's freed from bondage. She's no longer in chains to the devil. Well, it doesn't make her masters happy, and they come after Paul and Silas and have them beaten and thrown into prison. But they choose to praise God and to pray to God, trusting that everything is in God's control, that God will use it for good. Something good's going to come out of this, though they don't know what's going to happen. They're in the inner prison. They're in the stocks. They cannot get out. They don't know how long they're going to be there. Are they going to be sentenced to death? They don't know, but they have a right heart. They know what? We're just going to praise the Lord in our situation. And what I want us to see tonight is the power of praise, how praising God changes everything. It changes everything. In Psalm chapter 40, in verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." And that's exactly Paul's testimony and Silas's testimony in this inner prison. And you already know that not just one person, but many in a household come to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of Paul and Silas's testimony in that inner prison. Now, I want us to think about praising God has always been the right thing to do. All of God's creation praises him. I mean, the birds praise him. The animals praise him. Nature praises the Lord. And God desires for all of his children to praise him in all situations, regardless of how bad or how good it is. He wants us to praise him. Because remember, the Bible says that God's looking to show himself mighty in the lives of his people. And oh, how he does show himself mighty in the life of Paul and Silas in that dark, dungeony prison. So first thing I want you to see, look at verse 22. that right? Yeah, verse 22 and 23. We didn't read this, but this is where I want us to be at. So you think about just the prison of suffering, all right? Paul and Silas are in the prison of suffering. Now, sometimes hopefully you never end up in prison, but suffering can become a prison, again, where, you know, life is hard. People are against you. Things happen, and again, the devil wants God's people. He wants people to become isolated. Some people will choose to isolate themselves, not because of sickness, but because they've been offended by somebody, somebody's done them wrong, and they don't want to continue being done wrong. You know what? It's just part of life. I'm sure every one of us in here, I'll say all the adults in here, you've probably been done wrong more than once, probably more than 5 times, probably more than 10 times you've been done wrong. And you know what? It never gets easy. You never get to a point where you're like, okay, who's gonna do me wrong next? I can't wait. But you do know that God's always there, and God's always helped you through it, and God has always helped you to forgive that person and to move on. I mean, it just happens. But the devil wants to kind of help us to isolate ourselves and help us to become like we are in a prison and we're chained by bitterness. We're chained by resentment. Again, when you think about Paul and Silas, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't commit any crimes to be thrown in prison. They simply were preaching the gospel and helping people, and that's what got them thrown into prison. So you think about it, I mean, it was undeserved being thrown in prison. Sometimes, you know, we receive things that are undeserved, unjustly. When you look at verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, not for any crime that they had committed. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So, I mean, this imprisonment was undeserved, all right? They didn't do anything to deserve the beating. They did not, again, commit any crime. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't break any laws. And Paul and Silas had done nothing to deserve it. Their only crime, again, was casting out a demon from a girl that was demon-possessed. You think about it, the reality is that doing right does not protect us from having things go wrong in our lives. I've heard people say that, well, I've tried church, it didn't help. You know, I've read the Bible and it didn't help. I've prayed and it didn't help. It's all about the heart. You have to have faith in what God has instituted. He's instituted the church as a place for God's people to come together and to fellowship and to get encouragement from one another. Because we all have struggles in life. We all have situations in life where we can testify of how good God is and what God's done, so it encourages somebody else. And really, that's what Paul did. I believe Paul was the instigator in praying and praising God, and Silas obviously joined in because Paul was a leader. Remember, Paul's the one that said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Right? He's always wanting people to follow Christ, and Paul was a good example to follow because his life was centered around Christ. But this prison of suffering was undeserved. They didn't deserve it. But again, the reality is that when you do right, sometimes you'll receive wrong. You'll receive some injustice towards you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you," right? It's just really the way things are. The devil's always resisting, always fighting. There are people that are against the things of God. And as you live for the Lord, as you do right, as you try to help people, it won't always be received. But let me even tell you this, the good that you do for the Lord is never in vain. It's never in vain. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Many, many Christians will give up because of the mistreatment, because of things not always going right. You know what? If we always focus on the negative, if we always focus on the things that aren't going right, we do become discouraged. But you know what? We have to remind ourselves that God's given us a new life. We have the power of Christ in our life. God has not saved us to leave us to wander around in the wilderness fending for ourselves. God's guiding our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God is working in our life, and sometimes God has to allow hard things in our life to get us to where we want. Again, when you think about the life of Paul, Paul being a great man of God, a great missionary, I mean, walking by foot from city to city. Sometimes he'll travel in a boat, but you think about just the harshness of the travels that he endured to take the gospel to people, to help people, to encourage people. Because remember, Paul and Barnabas took their first missionary journey, and then later on, Paul's like, hey, let's go back and encourage all the churches again. So they took off, and he wanted to go encourage all the churches again. But God allows hard things in our life in order to get us somewhere else. Because even before I read this, remember, Paul's sailing as a prisoner on that ship headed to Rome. And God caused a storm that took that ship off course to take it to the island of Melita, because God wanted Paul on that island to do God's work. So don't always get mad at the situations or at the people that do you wrong. Ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you're trying to do? What is it you want me to do? Ask the Lord, how should I respond to this? And obviously, always praising the Lord that you know something good's going to come out of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, this is what I was, you know, saying, that what you do for the Lord is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, if you're serving the Lord with a right heart, all right, again, I know there are those that will do things because they're trying to get God to do something for them. So they're thinking, oh, God, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, it doesn't work out. But when you have a right heart and you're serving God, you're wanting to help people because you know it's the right thing to do, you know God wants you to, and it doesn't work out, someone's not thankful, someone, you know, whatever, gets in your face, says some nasty things. Okay, that's fine. Let Christ shine through you because somebody's watching on how you respond to that situation. Now, we know that with the Philippian jailer, he saw something. He heard something. Now, at some point, he fell asleep because the Bible says he woke up. But he had to have seen and heard the things that Paul was praying, singing. I don't know, maybe the singing put him to sleep, you know. But something happened in that man's heart. All because Paul and Silas chose that in the prison of suffering, being in a place that was undeserved, they chose to praise God. It not only helped them and encouraged them, but it affected somebody else. Even in the fact that when the prison doors open up during the earthquake, the other prisoners don't run out. They don't try to escape. Now, usually when there's a breach in security, people run for it and try to get out. But there was such a power of God in that place, such a presence in that place, that everyone remained in their places. And that speaks volumes. That truly our testimony, how we respond to situations, can cause others to have hope and peace, and to cause others to, you know what, they have something that I need. They have something that I need. Now look, the prison of suffering, it was undeserved. It was unbearable. It wasn't a good place. Again, these Roman prisons were not like the prisons of our day with, you know, rec rooms and basketball courts and nice comfortable beds and stuff that they can sleep in. I mean, the Roman prisons in the inner prison were like a dungeon. Dark, dirty, and filthy. I mean, the prison guard calls for a light and springs in. Can you imagine sitting in the pure darkness and the filth and having rats all around you? I mean, just it's just something that you wouldn't want. And here, listen, Paul and Silas make the best of it. Because if you find yourself in a dark place in life, it just seems like, you know what? Nothing's going right for me. It just seems like I'm hitting a brick wall everywhere I turn. It seems like everybody's against me. I'm just trying to live for the Lord. I'm just trying to do what's right. And it seems like the devil is just on my back. I mean, I don't know what to do. I'll just praise the Lord. Now, I'll have to tell you, it's not easy. Your flesh fights against it. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. The Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, lift up your voice, sing to your Creator, sing to your Savior. And your flesh is going, no, I'm in a dark place. Look around. Look at reality. It's dark. It's dungeony. I don't know if I'm going to get out of here. I don't know what's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, look, look up. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Praising God does something. David found himself in a predicament. David chose, I mean, David made the mistake when he thought that there was but a footstep between him and death when Saul was after him. And David chose to lead the people that were with him into the Philistines' land. And David joined up with them. The king gave him the city of Ziklag for his people, for David and his people to dwell in. And God spared him. God kept him from doing some things. But what I want us to think about is that when David returns back to Ziklag at a particular time with his men, they find the city burned. All the women and children are gone. They know that someone has come and kidnapped all the women and children. They don't know if they're alive. And all David's men look at David and blame him for it. You led us here. You're the reason why our wives and children are gone. The Bible says that all the men wept until they had no more power to weep. And David wept for his wives and for his kids. But the men spake. They started talking. They had done crying. They can't cry no more. They're still frustrated, they're still mad, they're still angry. They look at David and they start contemplating on stoning him. And David knows it. What can David do? I mean, he's a single guy. There's hundreds of men. I mean, his own men are turning on him because, you know what? They're angry, they're upset, they're blaming David. And the Bible records that David encouraged himself in the Lord. What else could he do? He can't fight these men. I mean, he's just as discouraged as they are because he wasn't contemplating all the women and children being taken. I mean, he made a decision he thought was a right decision. It turned out to be a wrong decision. But the fact that he encouraged himself in the Lord, he sought the Lord on that situation, and obviously God delivered all the women and children back. I mean, they found them and they got all the women and children back. I'm saying is there's times in our life where, you know what, like Paul and Silas, it's always good to have someone to praise the Lord with, to encourage. Sometimes you find yourself alone and you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And again, sometimes that's not easy, but that's why God's given us of the Holy Spirit to help us. To help us to do what's right, to help us to get our focus back on the Lord and to start praising God. Again, this place was undeserved, it was unbearable. But I want you to look at verse 24 and 25. They chose to praise. So looking at the praise of the believer. In verse 24, verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they chose at midnight. They chose at midnight to praise the Lord. And while I was think about the praise of the believer. It's always preceded by prayer. Because you know what? When you start praying to the Lord, and you start casting your care upon the Lord and casting your burden upon the Lord and letting the Lord know. And listen, we know that God knows everything. He sees us. He saw Paul and Silas in prison. But you know what? He still wants to hear from us. He still wants us to cast our burdens upon him. He still wants us to say, Lord, I'm in this darkness. I'm in this prison of suffering. I'm not supposed to be here. I was doing what you called me to do. And you're asking the Lord to give you strength, to give you comfort, to be able to endure until God brings you out. And you know what? When you start praying, God starts reminding you of his goodness. God starts reminding you of all the things that he's done for you and all the protection he's given you and all that he's provided for you. When you go to the book of Psalms, you look at David's Psalms, many times he starts complaining in the beginning of those Psalms, complaining about the enemies, complaining about those after him. But then he turns and starts praising God for how good God is. Now listen, casting your care upon the Lord, letting the Lord know that you're frustrated, letting the Lord know that, you know what, God, I'm in this place and I don't know why. Then God sits there and turns your heart and helps you to start praising him because he deserves praise. You know what? Just when things are going good in life is not the only time to praise him. God wants us to praise him even when things are going bad because it shows that you trust God. It shows that you believe that God is in control. But prayer precedes the praise. In James 5:13, the Bible says, is there any among you afflicted? Let them pray. Let them pray. You know what? That's the number one thing the devil doesn't want you to do is pray. Because prayer is our lifeline to God. Because when we pray, we know our God hears us. And we know that God will answer us. We know that God will help us. But our adversary, think about this. They're sitting, Paul and Silas are sitting in darkness. Literal darkness. I love going in a room, being able to flip on the light. I like to see what's around. But they're sitting in darkness. Their feet are fast in the stocks. They cannot get up. They cannot do anything. The devil works in darkness. The demons attack in darkness. That's why the Bible talks about there's joy in the morning. When the morning comes, there's joy because there's light, right? But the darkness can weigh heavy upon you. And as Paul and Silas sit in that darkness, no doubt discouragement and despair is trying to latch onto them, trying to get them to be frustrated with God. Trying to get them not to pray because the devil knows if Paul prays, God will hear. Because remember the sons of Sceva? We're going to exorcism over a man that was possessed with a demon. And these seven sons of Sceva go into the house and they're going to do their exorcism over this man. And the Bible records that they say that we adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preacheth. And that demon-possessed man spoke and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? The demons knew who Paul was because Paul was a man of God. He was a praying man. See, the devil knows if we are praying people. He knows if that is our strength. and he wants to keep us from it. Just as much as if it's a weakness. If prayer is not something that we go to often, if prayer is not our first resort in time of need, the devil knows that, and he'll use it against us. And no doubt, Paul was just a man. And the devil attacks him just as much as he attacks us. He wants to discourage us. He wants to get us not to pray. He wants us to focus on things that we think God has not come through on. But obviously, Paul and Silas, that's why it is good to fellowship. That's why it's good to have somebody that you can say, hey, someone you trust and confide in, and say, can you pray with me on this situation? Can you pray with me that God will do something in this situation? It's good because you know what? There's power in two people. There's encouragement in two people. Paul and Silas, kind of iron sharpened into iron. I mean, they are encouraging each other in the Lord. And I don't know who was praying first. I don't know if Paul prayed first. He probably was praying first. And you know what? That just stirs up another brother in Christ. And then Silas is praying. I mean, they just, I don't know what songs they started singing. Obviously, out of the psalm book, out of the book of Psalms, just singing the praises of God. That's what should happen. Prayer is not just telling God what you need. Though God says, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, you'll find. If you'll ask, seek, and knock in prayer, you will find what you need. God will hear and God will provide according to his perfect will. But prayer is drawing nigh unto God. And by the time you're done praying, there should be some song stirring in your heart. Because as a new creature in Christ, he's put a new song in your heart. He's put a song in your lips. Think about just the praise of the believer. It's preceded by prayer. They prayed. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Paul and Silas were trusting that the Lord would deliver them. Now, the praise of the believer obviously is produced by the Holy Spirit because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Psalm 119, verse 62, the Bible says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, the response of Paul and Silas to the beating and imprisonment is what only the Holy Spirit could produce. You can't do it on your own. The Holy Spirit of God in you helps you to have the right focus and to even be able to praise the Lord in the midst of darkness. Again, it's not natural. It's supernatural through the Holy Spirit of God in our life, helping us to praise God even when we don't understand, even when we don't know how things are going to work out. Because we're the children of God. We serve the true living God who knows everything, sees everything. He's guiding our steps. Again, he guided Paul to this city. God allowed them to be beaten and imprisoned. All because somebody else needed to hear the goodness of God, needed to see the power of God and the peace of God in two men's lives that were bleeding, in prison. And no doubt that Philippian jailer, there for many years, casting other prisoners in, other prisoners cursing, spitting, fighting, doing all kinds of things to get out of prison. And here's two men who calmly go in. I almost believe, the scriptures doesn't say it, but I almost believe that Paul and Silas willingly walked in, that the jailer did not have to force them in. just like they didn't have to force Jesus on the cross. Again, Christ helps us to do his will, helps us to face difficulties, knowing that the Prince of Peace is with me, knowing that, you know what, I'm on the winning side. I know that God has a perfect will. I know that sometimes bad things happen for good. God wants to get me into places, get me around somebody that I would not necessarily have met. I don't think Paul would have ever met the Philippian jailer had he not been put into prison. And you think about God. God never makes a mistake. God never does wrong in our lives. Bad things happen and God uses it for good. When you think about, look at verse 26. 26 through 34, obviously I won't read all the verses for time's sake. But in verse 26, think about, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. After praying and praising God at midnight, we don't know how long they were praying. We don't know how long they were praising God. But at some moment, God was so pleased with those men and their hearts and their attitude and their focus that God chimed in with the earthquake. I call it the bass note. They're singing and God chimed in with the bass note and caused this earthquake to rattle that prison. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas. Everybody around them were affected by Paul and Silas's testimony. They praised the Lord, they prayed, they sang, and all those around them were blessed by it. God didn't just loose Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners. All the prisoners received the blessing. And that's what we have to remind ourselves. Is it difficult? Yes. Is it dark? Yes. Is it something that's undeserving? Yes. But God never makes a mistake in our life. God's guiding us. There's a reason for it. And really, we always have to be praying, asking the Lord to help us to be mindful of that. Lord, help me to be mindful that if something bad happens, help me to look for the good. Help me to seek you first, to praise you first, and to allow you to work. Because there's something that you want to do. There's something you want to accomplish. So again, when you look at verse 26, you just see the power of God. God is pleased with prayer and praise. He's pleased with a heart that praises him, a heart that believes in him, a heart that trusts him. Again, there are those around you that benefit from it. Again, we just see that God has the power over nature because he created it. He has the power over nature. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So we understand God has power over nature, and he has power in salvation. Again, this is where we come to. The whole reason why Paul and Silas had to be put in prison was so that a man and those in his household could hear the gospel and be saved. Look, if you would, at verse 27. "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So at some point, this Roman guard falls asleep. He falls asleep. He wakes up during the earthquake. He sees all the doors are open, and he automatically assumes that the prisoners have fled, because what prisoner wouldn't flee if the doors flung open? But he also knew that all the prisoners being gone, it would be his life. So he takes out his sword and he's going to commit suicide so he doesn't have to face what he knows is going to happen. But Paul is so sensitive that he hears the man. Again, the Bible doesn't say if the man says anything, if he's, you know, frantic and you know, calling out, oh no, all the prisoners are gone. I'm dead meat. But what the Bible does tell us is Paul calls out and says, do thyself no harm. That's usually not the first thing that people think about saying when someone has mistreated them. Again, we don't know, you know, I don't believe Paul and Silas resisted, but at the same time, being a Roman guard, they're going to rough you up. They're going to be rough with you. They're going to push you down. They're going to mistreat you. And here's Paul, back is bleeding, people against him, and he calls out to a man to do himself no harm. You know what? Praising God helps us to have the right attitude towards the one that has done us wrong. Because when you praise the Lord, your focus is on the one that's given you life, the one who has taken you, taken me, and has made us whole, and has given us abundance of life because of Jesus Christ. And no doubt the Lord wants to do that with the person that has mistreated us, the person that's done us wrong, the person that's against us. Remember, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And he uses us to affect other people for Christ. He uses us to speak to other people. Because when Paul cries out, do thyself no harm, we're all here. This is where you know the man has heard some things that Paul was praying about and praising God about. Because in verse 29, then he, the Philippian jailer, called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How did he know to ask that question? How did he know to ask, what must I do to be saved, other than Paul had already been talking about it? I don't know, maybe in the darkness, maybe as the Philippian jailer was bringing them in, maybe Paul was witnessing to him. But whatever Paul was praying and saying in that jail affected that man. And he brings him out. He asks, what must I do to be saved? And obviously he hears the words from Paul in verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So this Philippian jailer, along with his household, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. All because two men gladly received what they were dished out. They knew that God was in control. They trusted God. They believed that God would work it out according to his will. They prayed about it. They praised God over it. They didn't allow discouragement to latch on to them and control them. They did not give the devil any room in that prison. Though I guarantee you the devil was trying hard to get those men, Paul and Silas, to just be frustrated with God. Because I don't think I wrote it down. Yeah, let me read this. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives a testimony of how his missionary life had been. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, the Bible records, of the Jews, Paul says, of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes save one. That means five times he was whipped 39 times. 39 lashes five times on his back. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Remember that? And the men of the city dragged him out of the city, stoned him, left him for dead. And obviously those that were with Paul are standing there, assuming Paul's dead. And all of a sudden Paul gets up. And what does Paul do? He goes right back into the city and doesn't leave till the next day. But again, stoned, he says, once when I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I mean, he's sitting there floating in the ocean for a night and a day. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, how many of us want that testimony? Right? I mean, Paul just testifies of the harshness that he's received in following Christ, in doing the will of God, but we always find him praising God. We always find him praying. Because Paul was a man that trusted God, believed that everything was in the center of God's will. Again, like I mentioned earlier, Paul is a prisoner on that ship headed to Rome. They find themselves in the midst of the storm. Paul tried to warn the centurion and warn the shipmaster that, you know, he perceived there'd be much hurt in this voyage because of the time of season with the storms and stuff. And the centurion trusted the shipmaster more. He didn't believe what Paul was saying. They find themselves in the midst of a storm. The sun's not shining for 14 days. The Bible says all the men on ship, 200 men, have lost hope. They've lost hope. They've cast out all the wares of the ship, trying to lighten the ship, doing their best. And Paul's down under in the cabin praying. And he comes up and he tells everybody, not one life is going to be lost. The ship will be wrecked, but not one life is going to be lost, because tonight, angel of God spoke to me and said there's an island that we must be cast on. You know what? That's exactly what happened. Not a single life was lost. But what did Paul do? All the men had lost hope. And Paul encouraged them to take meat because they were going to have to swim to shore. So Paul's testimony, Paul's demeanor, his countenance, I mean, just the way that he was, encouraged those men to eat. They trusted in what Paul said because there was something about Paul. You could look at Paul and tell there was something different. I mean, just Paul was an encourager. Paul was an encourager, and when he spoke, he encouraged people. I mean, he wrote his letters to Timothy and to Titus to encourage them in their faith and in the ministry. He writes the letters to the different churches. He writes the letter to the believers in Rome and encouraged them. All obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God was working in his life. And that's what the power of praise does, because praise gets our focus on God, who's in control. And God always, always orchestrates events. He always orchestrates events according to his will. Is it easy? Do we ever get used to it? I'd say no. But at the same time, we can know for sure you're walking with God, you're not living a sinful life, you're not out of the will of God, you know that you are in the will of God. You're walking with God, and you know when something bad happens, God has a reason for it. You can trust him for it. Again, for myself, ending up in the hospital for 6 days with COVID, not being able to be in church, I wondered why. Why, Lord, would you allow that to happen? But Lord, I trust you. You have a reason for it. You knew I was going to get sick. You knew I was going to end up in the hospital. And like I told the Lord, Lord, I'd like to know why, but that's in your hands. I may never know why. You know, I have ideas of why. You know, because you do. You You contemplate ideas of why God's allowing something, right? But at the same time, trusting God has a perfect will for it. Paul and Silas did the right thing. And they give us that example that, listen, the way we respond is going to affect others around us. Others around us may be complaining and murmuring, but that doesn't mean we have to. No doubt the other prisoners in there might have been complaining, murmuring, cursing, yelling, all this stuff. Remember, the two thieves hanging on either side of Jesus were cursing at Jesus. They were reviling him and saying, hey, if you be the Son of God, get down and take us down too. Jesus never allowed that to affect him. And guess what happened? One of those thieves hanging on that cross said to the other thief, basically, shut up. We're getting what we deserve. We committed crimes. We're getting what we deserve. He said, but this man's done nothing amiss. And that thief, something happened. That thief, obviously in his heart, something happened. That thief turned to Christ and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all he said. He didn't confess his laundry list of sin or anything. He said, Lord, because he was putting his faith and trust in Jesus. He said, Lord, by calling him Lord, he was saying, you're my master. You're the Savior. You're the Son of God. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And oh, what the sweet words he heard from that cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise. What a wonderful thing it is. Wherever you may find yourself in a hard situation, pray about it and then start praising God about it. And you'll see things turn around. The situation may not turn how you want it, but your focus will be right and you'll be able to hear God as you speak to you and respond to the situation how God wants you to, because it's going to affect somebody else, positive or negative. And obviously we want it to affect people positive. Just as a Philippian jailer, he basically came in and was asking of the reason of the hope that lied within Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have? And that's what we want. We want people to come to Christ. We want people, their lives to be affected and to be changed. We want people to call upon the name of the Lord. So it's having a good testimony and it's speaking about our Savior. Speaking about our Savior to others. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, and we thank you, Father, for the power of praise, Lord. And thank you, Father, you've given us the wonderful privilege of praying. But right alongside praying, you want us to praise you for your goodness. And Father, you are good. And Lord, it's not just praising you for the good things in life. It's praising you for who you are. Faithful and true, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, a righteous judge. Thank you, Father, again for your love. Lord, help us to praise you more often than what we are. And there may be people in here that praise you every day, all day long. Lord, help us to do it even more because, Lord, you deserve it. Thank you, Father, for just your goodness in our life. Thank you, Father, for even working in our life. Help us, Lord, again, to always recognize everything you're doing in our life. It's obviously for our good. It's for your glory. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.